Hello and welcome to season two of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in our backyards who are making it happen for themselves in our community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Alex Cook.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And also just a quick congratulations on getting first place for the Keystone Media Awards. Super incredible and high of praise for that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't even know we got submitted for awards before we started this recording here. I noted the team. I was like, hey, how did that even happen? They were like, oh, yeah, we just pulled a bunch of stuff forward and we thought what would be best. And we ended up submitting for a bunch. And yes, 17 across the whole station, which is pretty incredible. And that's a big, big testament to the small army here, roughly 5 employees that's dedicated to bringing all of this programming to life here. So James and Seamus and Margaret and the rest of the folks that make this possible, all the congrats go to them. So we're not here about me, though. We're certainly here to talk about you, and you've had an interesting journey. I'm excited to learn a little bit more, a lot more candidly. We've met each other through the agency life. We're both in our professional careers in marketing and advertising and creative services, but met in the community outside of that, doing public speaking, some mentorship. I think originally it was at William Allen High School where I met you, speaking to the kids. I love that, and you know, seeing others bring that back into the community for themselves always resonates with me. So I really wanted to dig in with you here today. But outside of that, you founded Structure Advertising and Creative Agency over a dozen years ago, 13, 14 years ago, founder and chief creative director, and you've called Allentown home for that business. You've made an impact on hundreds of different businesses and brands that also call the Lehigh Valley home and even beyond the Lehigh Valley. And it really shows how important creativity and a creative art and a creative art that then gets implemented into advertising, into the business structure world is in order to bring to life a voice, a message, a story that needs to be told. Similar to why it's important to have WDIY and outlets like this and telling exactly our stories, you're doing that every day across a lot of different mediums. So looking forward to digging in. 13 years in business, you've beaten the odds. I read a stat. I think it was approximately 20% of new businesses fail within the first year and about half fail within the first 5 years. You've effectively more than doubled that. So congrats, man. Dive right in. What is Structure? Give us a little background of the business or even of yourself, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the warm intro there. I mean, we are, as you mentioned, we're based in Allentown, and a big thing for us was that we're most of our team is here. Like, we're based in this area in the Lehigh Valley. We live here, we work here, we play here. We want to help the people that are right here in our own backyard. And so it wasn't quite as much about finding others elsewhere or moving to other locations. And we thought about it a little bit, but, you know, again, we really love being here. We see all of the amazing growth that's happening in the Lehigh Valley. And so we feel like even though there are more dense, highly populated areas where there might be more opportunity or you know, bigger projects and things out there, this is a great place to be. And we're really proud to be here. We're proud of the growth that is happening here in the ABE and you know, Greater Lehigh Valley areas. We just love the people that we end up working with, too. So we're really, really happy to be here and just seeing all the advancement that's happening, I think, just continues to solidify that thought of, hey, this is the right place to be and the right kind of people to be serving every day. So I got into all of this just back from being a kid doodling in, you know, math books and whatnot and things that I shouldn't be doing probably, and realizing that visuals were something that I just naturally loved and had no idea what that looked like in reality and in application. But I just eventually got to the point where I realized, hey, like, this is what I think I want to do, is something creative. You know, at the time I was in college for web design, realized, and this is back when web design was less visual and more code, sure, purely code. Sure. And so I was like, this isn't quite graphic enough for me and visual enough. And just ended up starting my own little thing. And we did work in the music industry for a good portion of the first half of our existence.
Okay.
And from there, it just evolved into what we are today. Amazing people on our team, both local and abroad. And amazing, like I was saying before, amazing clients that we get to serve that are, you know, from small little nonprofits in the area all the way to your, you know, like, international huge brands and everything in between. So it's been a roller coaster, but a really fun ride all at the same time.
And that's how life should be, right? You're going to go through peaks and valleys. It can't always be peaks and certainly shouldn't always be valleys. And making sure you're making the most of that steady middle, even if it seems a little mundane, it might not be perfect, but that's what allows for those peaks to be very exciting and to celebrate those. And because it is a little bit different and a little bit exciting, and it's okay when you are in those valleys, because you have to feel those emotions and those pains too. That's in business. That's in personal.
It's business, yeah.
But when we go back to what you guys are actually doing for your clients, I mean, I think I can put it together. I'm sort of in the industry, but right. For those that aren't, advertising and creative, what are you doing? What are you serving? What types of clients, or maybe what types of work are you doing for the clients? And then even more specifically within your role, like, what excites you in your day-to-day as helping to deliver that?
You know, the way that I like to put it is structure as an agency is more or less in the business of pain relief. So, you know, in other words, we're solving problems, and we're doing that through the strategy and design and marketing and all of the creative fun stuff. But we found that not all ad agencies do all of the creative, mm-hmm. and not all creative firms do the advertising side of it. So we just essentially figured out how to blend both aspects of it into us being as much of a single point of contact for the people that we're serving, so that they don't have to bounce around between, you know, different individuals. And, you know, I love my role as a director of all that, because, like, I get to see the amazing team that we have and bring those people on and work with them and help them grow as individuals. But then just seeing the impact and the difference that we're making on those brands that we're helping. Again, like I was saying, a lot of them are smaller businesses. They're, you know, maybe like your mom and pop corner store or a local nonprofit. So we're really seeing in real time the actual impact that we're making on them and that they're having through the things that we're helping them with. It's just so amazing to be able to do that, as opposed to always just like working with maybe like a huge brand where you do something and it kind of like disappears in a black hole and you don't really know like whatever happened with that.
Right.
It's okay to do that. It's like there's a time and place for that, but we get way more, and I get personally way more out of, you know, helping like a local nonprofit, seeing them grow because of it, seeing them get more grants and more donations and, you know, a stronger board and things like that. It's just so rich in the reward. That's why I love it. I absolutely love doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot more fulfillment when you're able to have a more attributable directly to I did X and I see Y in my community that I live. And I see that person out at, you know, a function I go to just because, not because of work. And now all of a sudden it kind of pulls a heartstring more.
It's real.
In what you're doing. It's real.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you mentioned about, you know, bridging the gap between the creative services and the advertising services and or even the, call it the media buying services that go into advertising. And this is getting a little bit in the weeds, but I was like literally on a call an hour and a half ago with someone, a sourcing manager from procurement from a industrial manufacturing company in the middle of the country that was looking for a media buying agency to do like a global search of something. And it's like literally just media buying though. Like they didn't need the creative or the content or how. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, man, like that's so disjointed. Like why would you want it? For me and my knowledge, you know, I'm not the one pulling the strings on the media buying at my company, but like my knowledge of that is like that's arguably not really even the hard part. Like, I mean, there's certainly skill and strategy to it, But right, just right. deciding how much dollars to spend and then where it's to put game. It is definitely less of a creative stroke than figuring out how is that piece of content or that ad going to resonate with that target audience and make sure that for whatever the call to action is that you want someone to engage with. That is what I imagine when you started the business, getting into a creative advertising agency, what really fuels you and going back to the passion pulling forward is the purpose behind it.
Yeah. And I mean, cause we kind of went backwards. Whereas I think a lot of ad agencies that are a little more like full service started off as ad firms, and then they figured out how to incorporate creative into the scope of their capabilities, what they can do. Like I was saying, we started off in creative and we kind of put ourselves in the deep end, music industry, which is hard in and of itself to work within. And then deeper within that, we were really specializing in more of the hardcore music industry.
Okay.
So that made it even harder because they're very dog eat dog. And so coming out of it, we learned how to do really edgy, crazy stuff, thinking, okay, now how do we transition this out of music into the corporate commercial world in a way where it's not quite so crazy, but we're still getting them to think outside the box and maybe try new things, and then applying that to the actual, media purchasing campaigns. And okay, how do we make a really interesting creative piece that works for a very specific piece of deployment, whether it's a billboard campaign or some guerrilla marketing? We want to create something that's very focused for that application, as opposed to, okay, we need to do this and we're just going to take the same, creative that we've been using for the last 5 years and we're going to force it onto that type of media purchasing. We're always thinking hey, no, let's stop and step back and let's do something that actually stands outside of the noise a little bit and just makes people want to see it again.
Yeah.
And then half the battle is done.
Right. To the music industry that you worked with, and do you have a music background that took you in that direction, particularly even into hardcore? If I could be responsible for some of Knock Loose's material right now, I'd be yo, what up?
Yeah, it's definitely and it's funny because one of our illustrators is actually the illustrator for Sleep Token, which is currently
huge,
really big group. So yeah, it's just interesting to still tiptoe around that industry, but not be fully in it anymore.
Sure.
No, I am a musician. I play drums, not professionally.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I'm a drummer too.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. So, we probably both annoyed neighbors together, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's something that I loved personally is just music in general. Growing up on music, it really helped shape me into who I am. And then being involved in it, going to the shows, those 11 p.m. Croc Rock crazy wild shows.
Shout out Croc Rock.
And so being deeply ingrained in that, we just loved it. We loved it and hated it all at the same time. Yeah, no, it was great. And the only reason that we really shifted away from it was because the dawn of Spotify, where, okay, they were making a little bit less and record sales were going down. It was hard for artists. You were either really big and just killing it, or you're struggling all of a sudden. And so the people that we loved to work with, we were finding that the small budgets they had suddenly went to zero. And that was when we were okay, we got to do something different.
Yeah.
And we thought, let's just move over to a different space, but let's kind of carry the same mentality, the same ideation and thoughts and thinking that we have. And maybe we're a little more wild and crazy than the stereotypical firm, but that's cool. That's how we're different.
That is cool. It's how you're different. And you got to differentiate yourself in this world and in this life, no matter what industry you're in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we come back into the second session. But for right now, we're going to take a quick break. I'm Lewis Holzman here with Young Valley Leaders. Sit with Alex Cook, and we'll talk soon.
For the past 3 decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8000 8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Lewis Holzman here with Alex Cook, Young Valley Leaders, episode 19. We're talking about advertising and creative services. We're talking about making an impact in your community. We're talking about how does one differentiate themselves in really any industry, but let alone in an industry that sometimes can come across as a lot of sameness when you read from a professional services standpoint of I do X, Y, Z. Big impact that has seen the shift here for all of us, pretty much ubiquitous within our lives, is AI, artificial intelligence. Now it's pretty norm across industry, or at least becoming norm, where, you know, certainly 5 years ago, it was not. And Alex, I'm curious about how you're using, adopting, or maybe not, artificial intelligence and AI and those types of tools within, whether it's your personal life or certainly within the agency.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you bring this up, because I think this is a really important discussion, you know, especially for those that are listening, because the way that we look at it is, if you try to fight the future, you are going to lose every time. And the future right now is AI. So our way that we think about it going into it is, you know, we use AI to accelerate, not to replace humans and human thinking. People have to understand something really important about AI, which is AI is good at making things, but it doesn't necessarily know what's good. That's still our job. That's where we come in.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, the way that we look at it is you still have to interact with people in a certain way. And right now we're at this like crazy point where you used to need to have all the answers to things. Now that's accessible either for free or it's accessible behind like a $20 paywall. And so that's where we're at with things. And today what you really need is questions. So on the human side of it, again, you know, we're looking at it as, rather than always being the ones who have the answers when it's so easy to get answers, we need to take a step back as humans and ask questions and interact in that way. When people are saying, I need help with something, or this is a problem we need to get solved, to take the time to, rather than just hop onto, you know, ChatGPT, to ask them questions and really understand what are they going through? What are their challenges? What are those pain points? What, at the end of the day, what is like that thorn in their side that they're trying to get rid of?
Right.
And we will use AI to help us find those solutions or come up with ideas, but we're never using it to replace anything. It's really just another tool in the toolbox that we use. And you know, we're using it every day, mm-hmm. but knowing where it starts and ends and where we can use it and where to benefit and areas where we have to say, okay, that is not something that AI should be involved in. That's something that we should still keep the human brain involved in, knowing those two. And just, again, like I said, like knowing how to be rooted in real, knowing when to stop, to listen, to ask questions, and just genuinely interact with human beings will always be better than AI. We can just use AI to help that, you know, help that process, but not to overtake it. And I think like that's why people need to not be so scared of it. You know, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. But how can you implement it in a helpful way into what you do every day, as opposed to fearing that it's going to, you know, take over whatever your position is?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt there's some fear out there. And I think in large part, from my experiences, people are wondering how can they use it. And it's just genuine wonder of like, how? Like,
right.
What? Maybe not so much fearful, but like, how? Why? What? What's the tool? What is a shiny new object that's labeled AI? And what actually gives some type of real results? Quote unquote real results.
Right, right.
And I like what you said about, you know, it doesn't know what is good. It's good at making things. It can only make things that are good based on the human input is driving the response that it's going to put out. And I liken it to, you know, baking, for example. Like, you can make bread or make a cake and use awful ingredients and it's not going to rise, right, or it might be floppy. But
right, you get bad results.
It's still cake. Like, right, the cake still thinks it's cake. And it's like, yeah, it's cake. Like, but us humans are like, bad cake.
Right,
not good cake.
Yeah.
Real recognizing real. How do we discern that, though? Right. And I think you and I and our generation, we lived in a life certainly pre-AI, but even pre-digital. Pre-internet in our hands, pre-internet even before you came home from school, like, you know what I mean? Like, so in today's world where now we have a generation that is, like, growing up with that being real, and how do you discern that real? I think that is a challenge. That I think that's part of the fear, at least maybe for myself, that I have, how do we make sure that everyone knows what's actually real?
Yeah, it's dangerous. I think we as people who have been, like what you said, like, we've sort of seen this renaissance, the dawn of tech and AI and things, like, come to be what they are today, that maybe for younger generations, like, they were born into it.
Yeah.
I think it's just important to know, to be able to identify that, like, what is real and what isn't. It's super important, because we all have to keep in mind that what we see today with AI, this is the worst it's ever going to be, which is crazy.
Like, a little bit wild, wild west, you mean, like that way?
Yeah, I mean, just like in the advancements of it and the intelligence behind it, it's only going to get smarter, faster, better from here. It's never going to really get worse. And we've seen that with, like, the video, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen that, the video of Will Smith, I think, eating spaghetti or something.
Okay.
And it's, you know, like, a year ago, showing AI trying to create a small looping video of that, and then them doing it again today, and it went from looking, you know, absolutely absurd, and you could 100% tell that it was just completely fake and, you know, this, like, AI generated garbage, to something that I think, to maybe the untrained eye, they could look at it and be like, yeah, that's probably real. And so that all happened within a course of 12 months.
Yeah.
So the rate of it getting better is alarmingly fast. And again, like, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. I think as long as we just know when to identify, like, okay, this is a real thing and this is not a real thing, and we just need to be able to differentiate the two.
How do you and your team keep up with the pace of that technology? Just moving fast, thinking about, you know, implementing things for your clients or what not to implement for them, how you're bringing things to them proactively versus them being like, hey, why aren't you doing X, Y, Z? Like, how do you keep up with it all?
Yeah, I mean, for us, honestly, with all the chaotic change of pace and demands and markets changing, the economy's changing, media is changing, like, everything is constantly changing. And I think that will continue for a while. So for us, simply put, we always want to focus on clarity. We think clarity is going to always lead the way. Staying focused, just wanting things that are going to be simple and iconic and memorable, easily understandable. Those are the things that will really, like, they're always my goal in life. And I think there are our vision at Structure is, yes, things are constantly changing and people are approaching us asking about, you know, there's this new thing. Should we be looking at it? Should we not be looking at it? Like, how important is it? And I think just to help navigate through it and make sure that, hey, whatever the answer is to that, let's make sure everything we're doing has a clarity behind it and people will be able to walk away not confused, not overwhelmed, but they'll be able to still get the end result, the end goal that, you know, whatever that brand is, the message is, you need to make sure that that piece of it is sticky at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe things are changing and we should 100% go in all in and embrace it. And then maybe other times it's like, yeah, that's a new thing, but let's just sit on it for a while. Probably not important. And just to be able to, like, identify those things, it's good to stay in the know, but at the same time, not necessarily just always assume that newest, latest, greatest, best thing is actually the best thing.
Sure.
So it just takes a little bit of, you know, knowing what's going on, and we try, but then other times we'll go back to the good old traditional. Sometimes that works the best too.
Can't chase a shiny object every time.
Exactly.
You got to make sure you keep focused on what you know works and how to do, and, you know, adopt things as they become proven or,
right,
you know,
right,
some level of leading edge. But so pulling the lens up, you know, super high here, you've been in business now going on 14 years, knowing what you know now, what would you tell others that are looking to either start their own business or even getting to some type of advertising or creative agency type of space?
I have two responses to this. One that's kind of for everybody and one that's a little more focused, I think, on creatives or people that are trying to get into creative fields. And I think something that I wish, you know, it's always like, if you could go back and tell your younger self something, like, what would that be?
Yep.
Network. Network, network, network. Make connections, get to know people. That's how you and I met.
Yep.
That's how I've met tons of people and amazing opportunities. That is probably one of the leading things that I can attribute to the growth of our agency. And also build a brand instead. Like, when you're thinking about building a business, think about building a brand instead. And, you know, this is a concept from a brand strategist named Marty Neumeier, but he basically explains that a brand isn't a logo. So logo is a symbol. It's not a product. That's just an item or service. Really, a brand is a result and a gut feeling. And so the reason that you want a brand versus a business is because you're going to have followers who are supporting you, you know, at whatever phase of your business's evolution. And even if, you know, it's kind of the hard to swallow pill, but even if your product or idea isn't the best, if your branding is strong, you're going to do well. Case in point, think to yourself, Liquid Death. Is it because amazing water or amazing branding? Think McDonald's. Is it amazing food or is it amazing branding? And so we really want to look at it that way as, okay, yeah, obviously, like, making a good quality product, that is the standard now. That's not a nice to have, that's a standard. But when you think about how do you stand out, how do you have a following where, let's say you decide to change what you're offering into something totally different, you don't want to lose all those people. So having a brand is super key, as opposed to just being a business that has a commodity. And then the other side of it for creatives, kind of throwing creatives under the bus here a little bit, is stop defending yourself before a fight even starts. Stop explaining. Stop trying to weaken your value by justifying everything. You know, only do it when they ask you. So if somebody says,
you got to know when to sell yourself. You don't got to oversell it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of creatives, they try to prove themselves in a meeting before they even need to. And it becomes this like turnoff, you know, where it's like you're fighting too hard for something that you don't even need to be fighting for.
Yeah.
It's only when you get the pushback that, okay, now start thinking about it. You know, when people say, like, why is this so expensive? You can just say, hey, it just is. This is what people pay. It just is what it is. You know, or if they say, why is the contract like that? You just say, hey, it's policy. It's our process. It's just how it is. You have to take those pushbacks and find a way to pivot it to your own advantage so that it now becomes a standout and a good thing that you're addressing and not something that you're backing away from or shying away from, or trying to defend yourself when maybe they're just like, hey, no, we already wanted to work with you. We were already planning on working with you. And it's like, why are you trying to defend yourself?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're being attacked. A lot of times you're not.
Yeah.
And I think if people, creatives, just took a step back on that, they would find that, you know, maybe it's less hard than they think. And it's just, again, problem solving. You're there to help people with what you do. And that's it. That's all you're doing.
That's all you're doing. Don't overcomplicate it, folks. And just to pull forward something you mentioned out of the first portion of that around networking, A, that's been a common thread through a lot of people that have sat here and had discussions with me. But B, networking is building your brand, right?
100%.
Particularly in a local community. But if you're networking in broader strokes and bigger, broader communities, it's the same principle. You're just getting out to bigger and broader places, depending on what you're pushing out there. So we do got to wrap up here. I want to give you this time and space to give any final comments, words of strength, encouragement for our upcoming leaders listening in. And if you have any ways that people can follow you or want to get in touch, to toss them out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think just some good words to walk away with is, you know, just don't blend in, be bold, be clear, you know, don't try to be weird. Like, people try to not be themselves on social media. Like, just be you. Everybody else is taken. Be yourself. Stop waiting for permission. Just do it. You know, don't wait for somebody to say it's okay to start that idea, open that business, start, you know, whatever. Just do it. Fail as fast as you can, because failure is the price you pay. It's the admission you pay for success. So learn, try things, fail, learn from those, continue to repeat. I mean, that's pretty much what I've done, what I'm still doing, what I'll probably do until I croak over and, you know, take a dirt nap. You know what I mean?
Day in and day out, my friend.
That's it. That's the life.
That's the life. Yeah, well, Alex, really appreciate you coming in and joining us here today on episode 19, Young Valley Leaders. That does about for the time that we got today. But really, thank you again for taking the time
out of
your day.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure learning more about yourself, your business, and the insides and outsides of the worlds of creative and advertising. You can find this show airing monthly, 6:30 on the second Monday of every month. And then forever streaming with all of their episodes on WDIY.org, along with Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, and WDII's YouTube and social media channels. I will emphasize, it is at a time of our lives where public media and public radio is absolutely critical, and we need to support that as much as you possibly can. So please share that. Please tune in to WDIY's other shows, all the other types of programming that they have here, and contact your state and or local representatives to make sure that it does not go away. A big shout out to some people that are making this program possible. Lauren Matthews with the logo for Young Valley Leaders brand. Matt Cajun live and in studio, making it come to life on screen every single time. James, Seamus, and all the good folks at WDIY for giving us the time and space and allowing the energy to support our community, this show, and 17 award winners for the Keystone Media Awards. Again, I'm Lewis Holzman, your host of Young Valley Leaders on WDIY 88.1. Alex, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and until next month.